the ball, and it was just good to see him get back out in the field and throw the ball. The thing that we'll see is is there residual effects of him throwing it? Where's the soreness level and things like that? And we'll find that out a little bit more today. So it gets bigger as the week goes on.
Chip, Malcolm Jenkins talked about, after these two back-to-back blowout losses, maybe it would be better to slow down a little bit this week and talk things over and get some things corrected. What was your take on that?
Well, that's what we do every day. I think when we meet individually in position meetings, our coaches will go over every single play that was run against us in the past game. So part of our schedule on Tuesday when they get back here is the first thing we do is we address the game that we just played. And we go over that in detail in each position group as a group, and they go over everything. So Corey runs the defensive back meeting and goes everything with them. Then we transition to everything from a special team standpoint. Then we come back and start the next meeting after that about our insertion in terms of getting ready to play the New England Patriots. So that's addressed every Tuesday.
What about doing it in a team setting?
Well, I don't understand the question.
I think that was Malcolm's point was that in New Orleans they did it in a full team setting when they went over reviewed film.
Yeah, why don't I do that? Because my right guard doesn't really care what our free safety does. So it's not really efficient for Matt Tobin to listen what the instruction is going on with the free safety. So I think when you want to get detailed in terms of making corrections, it needs to be done in the position group because those guys are paying attention to what goes on at their position. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, but for us, in our opinion, and I do it in a lot of places. I think everywhere I've been, it's been done that way. It's all been done in the individual position room to the individual position player because it doesn't help a guy in this sport, unlike any other sport. It's very not related. What goes on for an offensive lineman is totally different than what goes on for a defensive back.
Then what about defense and offense? I'm sure something that
we have. We start every.
Does relate to what a cornerback may have to.
Yeah, and we do that, Billy. We start everything. So we go from a team meeting and then we split into offense defense. So then Billy has 10 or 15 minutes with the defense. Pat has 10 or 15 minutes with the offense. Then we split into individual position groups.
He was saying about maybe it creates more accountability if someone is getting called out in front of the entire team.
I don't buy that. I mean, I think Corey does a great job in calling out our guys in the DB rooms. And it's not calling it out. It's instructing them on what they did right and what they did wrong. So, if you need to get called out in front of a group, then you're not getting things accomplished in your individual position meeting, and that's not the case.
Has Malcolm brought that to your attention, or have other players voiced concerns about the way things are done around here? Or
no, and what we do around here is kind of what Pat did when he was at Cleveland. It's what Billy's used to. We've got a lot of input from a lot of guys that are done at different places. So, I haven't been part of that. I think the efficiency of time, it doesn't help. You got separate positions, and there's individual things. If a defensive lineman doesn't place his hands right, how does that affect what the corner's doing? I think our corners need as much work and much instruction. I think our D-line needs as much work and as much instruction. I think you can be more specific in doing it in terms of that. And everywhere I've been, I think it's been done that way. I think everywhere Billy's been, that's the way it's been done. I think we're talking to Pat. I think that's the way it's done where Pat's been in his career. So I think it's similar to what Andy did when he was here. So, that's just what we choose to do. So.
How do you address the point that he made that he said it was hard for him to be the leader that he obviously likes to be without the accountability coming down from the coach because then he can't be effective?
But I think when you ask him, it does. So our linebackers are being held accountable by Coach Minner and D'Amico Ryans. I think it's all done in an individual position group. So, I think everybody should worry about their job and do their job than to say, I'm not doing this on my aspect, but how come this guy's not doing that? I think that's where you get into kind of finger point, and that's not conducive to being successful. I think everybody needs instruction. Everybody needs help. We all do. And I think the more you can get specific with the individual player and detail that for the individual player, it's better. But to be in a group setting to say that I don't think the left tackle made a mistake here and I want everybody in the room to know that, that doesn't help the right corner. I mean, the right corner is going to go, okay, great. That's good. I'm worried about playing press man. Why am I listening to what I've had going on in the pass rush? So
Chip, a lot of what you do
Chip,
here
when you're
in terms
struggling
of
like this, when you're struggling and a team's going through a rough time,
mm-hmm.
How do you deep down stay within what you truly believe in and say, I know this is going to work. I know this is going to get us out of this?
Well, because I've seen it work before, and I've seen these players be successful before, and I've had that questions. I've seen us play really good football. Up until the last two games, I thought we played really well on the defensive side of the ball. I think those guys have done a really good job. That's where kind of the Tampa Bay game was surprising. We hadn't had their ball run on us like that since we've been here in the 3 years we had been here. So I've seen the the success from them. And I've told those guys that I believe in them because I've seen it. It's not believing them because it's fake. I've seen them all play at a really high level. We just need to play at a high level consistently as a group.
A lot of what you've done here in terms of practices and the structure of the day is about being efficient with your time. Why don't you want, is it just you just don't want guys wasting time, not getting as much out of the day, or are you ever worried about ending the day early for the players?
I don't think we end it. I mean, they're here from 8 to 5, so okay. That's kind of prototypical of what goes on. And
why is efficiency so big to you?
Well, I don't think anybody's a big fan of wasting time, do you?
No.
Okay. So I guess I'm not into wasting time, so.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I've ever heard anybody critique efficiency. So
I'm not critiquing it at all. I'm asking you why you've gone to such lengths to.
I don't think we've gone to such lengths. I think your job is to create an environment where you have an opportunity to be successful, and you can just say, all right, let's. How long do we want to meet for? I don't know. We got from now till midnight. I mean, that's not really efficient. Yeah. What do you got to get accomplished? I mean, I think everybody has to have parameters. You have deadlines, right? Yeah. I mean, you got to get a story in. I mean, if your editor said, get me a story sometime. Okay. You're going to be doing something that's probably not efficient. If he tells I need a story in by noon, I'm probably going to take care of the task at hand. So, that's a...
No, I was just wondering.
Okay. I hope that answered it.
The two summers with the Patriots, what did you get from that besides, obviously, the typical preseason work?
I think that's what we got from it. I think people try to read too much into it. I don't think we looked at it as, hey, I know in year three we're going to play them, so let's try to figure out what they're doing or how they're doing it. Because the rosters change and turn over so much that you can't say, hey, they did watch what they're doing here with this and these schemes or those schemes, because the one thing Bill does and does a great job of is implement a scheme that what players are available to him. So even if if we had a great understanding of what Julian Edelman does, that's great. He's not going to play against us. When we go to those sessions, it was just to get quality work against really good, a really good team, in an environment. I think we spend a lot of time, myself and Coach Belichick, and putting those times together. And I think they were very, very efficient in terms of what accomplished. Got a lot of great situational work. Got a lot of really good on good work. We did a lot of things on separate fields at the same time so that, again, we were actually being efficient. We didn't have, guys standing around watching. Their guys were working, our guys were working. I really, in those sessions, I didn't have much interaction with Bill because he was on his field and I was on my field. So it was, we thought there was great efficiency in that work, and it was really the good on good, and that's what we were trying to get out of those things. So,
why do you think it was important for you to tell the team that you're not going anywhere?
I didn't, and I think that was what I was actually having a talk to him about the difference between perception and reality, and I used that as one example of the difference between perception and reality. But I didn't have a team meeting to say, let me tell you what's going on with me. I mean, that was just an example.
You told them you weren't leaving, right? You told them you weren't going
anywhere. I've never been leaving, and it's been reported. So that's my point, is that the difference between perception and reality is the reality is this, the perception is this. And here's a couple examples of reality and perception, and that's all it was. So it wasn't a team meeting to address anything, because that, again, for me to have a team meeting to address anything would be inefficient.
What were some of the other examples you gave for,
what's that?
For perception and reality?
A lot of reports that are put in the media. Michael Kendricks, that we don't like Michael Kendricks. He doesn't fit our prototype of what we're looking for in a linebacker. And then all of a sudden we re-sign Michael Kendricks. Well, what's reported is the perception. What the reality is we think Michael's a great fit in terms of what we do. So there's a litany of them. The problem is, I think a lot of people can get sidetracked with what perceptions are. And we have to really focus on the reality. And the reality for us is the New England Patriots. And let's dig into this and let's get after it and prepare for playing against a really good football team.
What went into the decision to release Pat Chung last offseason?
Just where we were in the secondary and what we were trying to get accomplished there.
Was it anything like schematically in terms of him fitting in terms of what you guys do back there?
No, I wouldn't say it was that much. I just think where Billy and what they wanted to do in the secondary and where they were going, and I think Pat understood.
When you look at the Patriots secondary, they lost a couple marquee guys during the offseason and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, just the way they've been able to, plug in and keep going, what have you noticed about that?
I think there's some growth there. I think if you watch Malcolm Butler play, he started last year as an undrafted free agent. Obviously, he had maybe the play ever in the Super Bowl in terms of what he'd done, but he's taken great strides mm-hmm. as a corner. And they've had him matched up in a couple of games against Beckham, against some of the really top receivers that they faced, and he's a competitive, aggressive, and has done a really nice job. And I think maybe their decisions to let guys go because they felt like their depth provided them with someone like that. I think Logan Ryan on the other side is someone that has done a really, really good job, is another quality corner. And then I think McCourty may be one of the best free safeties in the league. So I think they've got some quality depth. They may not be the named depth, but when you watch the tape and you're evaluating players and you look at how Malcolm Butler's playing right now, it's whether he has the premier name, you know, as some of the top corners in the league, but he's playing like that right now. So
have you seen enough from Sam Bradford to know that, you know, he can be effective, he can be efficient in this league for a long period of time in the next year?
I'm concerned with the New England Patriots game, so I'm not looking at that. I know Sam is a really good quarterback and was playing really, really well for us before he got injured against Miami, and I'm excited to see how he progresses this week so that we can get him back out on the field.
Thanks, Kevin.